being awake, awakening. Is our natural functioning. And yet in the four practice principles, the first line begins with caught self-centered dream. In a way, there's nothing we need to do to be awake, except that we are so used to doing caught, self-centered dream. So I wanted to unpack these a little bit. To see how we enter into this universe and create disturbance with caught, self-centered dream. The universe arises for us and we become disturbed. Either one of those creates and perpetuates harm and suffering. So there's caught, there's self-centered, and there's dream. In a way, self-centered is easy. And yet it's difficult. Easy to sense if we're willing to look, except that we take it for granted. Not only do we take it for granted, but we assume the self-centered perspective is the accurate way to talk about so-called my life, so-called what I encounter. We take it for granted when something happens without even thinking about it, bodily, emotionally, in all the ways that we function. How is this for me? What is this for me? What does it mean? Of course, the me is a dualistic sense of me versus not me. That's why when Dogen talks about practice, he uses the expression forgetting self. Not getting rid of self in the sense that self arises just as we said yesterday in the Gatha of Atonement, beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, born of body, mouth, and thought, gives rise to a sense of self, or a sense of self versus others, or a sense of self and not self. And no problem with this in one way, except if we believe it. If we feel a certain way and we go to, I don't like this, I shouldn't have to, why is this? And not, I don't mean in terms of thought or conscious cognitive process, but I mean in the sense of bodily, oh, I'm anxious, I don't feel good, it's not the way I want. And along with the strength of that self-centered way of seeing the universe comes almost automatically the first part, the caught, which we assume is the way it's supposed to be. Caught meaning we believe, we assume, we react to those thoughts, feelings, emotions, bodily sensations. We react to them in assuming they are mine and not mine, or that they are the way I want them or the way I don't want them. And that's a valid way to determine how we should feel. So as soon as we say to ourselves, I shouldn't feel this way, I can't take this, or the various other ways that we say about things, that's the caught in the I story, in the I and not I, and that's what generates the harm and suffering. There's a reason we say caught, self-centered, and dream. And the dream, in a sense, is the other side of the self-centered. The dream meaning that the way we perceive the world, it's not that there's anything lacking in the universe including our body, mind, all and everything we encounter. That's all this universe that is our life. And we get to see that in sitting. We get to see that all the more in practice. It's not that there's anything extra that we do when we sit, whether in sesshin like now, or are being present throughout our activities. It's not that there's anything extra that we're doing. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's that we're forgetting self. Then there's no dream generated. When we don't forget self, then the self almost has the two. Not that there is self, except that when it arises, when beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance appear, just appear as a result of cause and effect, just appear as a result of the forces of life, as it appears on either side, so to speak. On one side is the tendency to get caught in it, which is why our practice requires us to notice that, requires of us at some point to notice it, maybe just in the consequence of the suffering, and then make an effort. And the other side of that is the dream story about what's happening to me, why they're doing this to me, they must, they should, it's my fault, it's their fault, if only, all the other parts of that dream story. It's not that the universe is, quote, real or unreal. Neither of those are relevant. It's the filter through which, by which, we interpret the universe. We interpret what people say to us, what people do, whether, quote, to us or not, doesn't make a difference. How we are in all the ways that being manifests. See, it's always this moment, and yet this moment becomes very easily reinterpreted by what we, quote, know. That's why we can say practice is being, not knowing. We could say our life is being, not knowing. And we could sense how uncomfortable we are when that occurs. See, that's our opportunity sitting together. to sense the court when that appears, to sense the dream when that appears. You don't have to do anything about so-called self-centeredness except when that appears. But that appears in the forms of court, in the forms of dream, in the forms of excuse me. In the forms of reaction, so that coughing must have given me a good signal that this is a time to stop. Can you get me this? Ah, that's possible. It's okay. So that's what that is. Okay. I can do well with it. So I'll stop now, and maybe we can talk about this a bit together. About being caught, being dreaming. See? When we have allergic reaction, just have allergic reaction and see what there is to do. If it's bad enough, and you have one, use the EpiPen, or have a drink, or move that aside. No, that's fine. I won't be here that long. So, I'll stop now and let's see if we can. So we repeat this many times: caught in self-centered dream. But it's important to see what it is we're saying, and saying it isn't the big deal. It's how to make use of it so that we can notice when caught occurs. We could notice when dream story occurs. We could even notice when I don't like, I do like leads to believing. I shouldn't. How could they to me? That's why, as I said, studying, practicing with self allows us to forget self, forget self of a solid, separate, fixed entity. Then each moment allows awakening as this universe, awakening, awakening. Just not because we do something special, not because it is something special. When allergic reaction, it's coughing. Or eyes burning. Or so, but I'm talking again. Koshi?
I may be taking this in a different direction or something, but what's right practice if you get caught in the middle of someone else's self-centered?
When you say you get caught in the middle of someone else's, what do you mean by you get caught?
Well, I'm on this committee, and this other person is not hearing this.
Okay. So is it for you to make sure that they hear, see. In a manner, M-A-N-N-E-R, it's your skillful response to their self-centeredness. It's not that you're caught in it. How to allow them to be caught, and yet you're not their teacher, but yet you're responding to them as a peer. How to respond in a way that's skillful and appropriate so that you don't get caught in it, and at the same time skillful and appropriate to support them in not holding on to it, if that's possible. Might not be. That has to be their practice. But skillful responses to difficult circumstances, so to speak, is what our life offers us over and over. See, whether it's ours or theirs doesn't make a difference that it's difficult. But what we can do, what's ours to do, does make a difference. So, someone else being caught up, it's not much use to go poke them and say, hey, look how caught up you are, unless they invite you, unless you're in that sort of relationship, unless they're in the Zendo and or in the Oksan room or somewhere else. But otherwise, most people aren't interested in hearing such things. If you're in a certain kind of relationship, it might be appropriate and skillful. But in many relationships, it's the last thing anyone wants to hear. And yet, there is something skillful we could do that will support them in not holding on to it. Sometimes, if we can see it. And we might not be able to see it, and there might not be anything. And no matter what we do, they might not hear it in any way that's useful. We don't have to fix other people. I'm sure some of you have heard where Joko said about practice in terms of a couple. One person practicing in as part of a couple is enough. You don't have to get your partner to practice, unless they're interested in it. But it's not about going to get them. Yes.
I talked about I've been in a really, really bad mood for a little over a week. And it's a struggling with being in the bad mood and not wanting to be and feeling that I should have no reason to be. That's getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stories about how my friend left me, whatever. That's the dream.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Bad mood arising is just the cause and effect. What to do, what's skillful to do with that so that you don't stay caught in it, so that you don't act out or react out of it. And I say skillful to do, because there's lots of non-skillful things that people do when they're in a bad mood. whether it's they get angry at other people and blame them, they use drugs, alcohol, etc. And you could go on listing the things people do. I don't remember, someone recently told me, oh yeah, when I'm in a bad mood, I go out shopping. So that, in one sense that's harmless, in another sense it's not at all skillful and can have all sorts of very harmful consequences. But it's hard to be willing to experience what we call bad mood. Not just the thoughts, emotions, but to bodily stay with them. And to see what enables us to do that, at least for limited periods of time, whether it's sitting periods or whether at other times in our day. And of course there's to see, I mean, is there something medically going on? Is there something in terms of other things that's part of this? That's also useful. But mood is just another cause and effect moment. Inside, outside doesn't make a difference, cause and effect. See, that's beginningless cause and effect that occurs. Beginningless greed, anger. I mean, we think, oh, they must be justified because they arise. But they're part of the package of body, mouth, and thought. It just comes with the package. And the package, we have some, so to speak, say in what the package produces based on what we do and what we eat and so on and so forth. But we also have limited, very limited, and there's lots of things that occur in this package of life, whether it's illness, whether it's physical, mental states of various sorts, which have no immediate cause in what we do, what others do, and yet we get to practice in the midst of those. We get to live in the midst of those. That's the opportunity in terms of caught self-centered dream. That's seeing that, seeing the way we hold to that, to the emotion, thought, bodily states, is what our opportunity is. So when we recite the verse, it's to, in a way, remind us, as a support, to remind us that we are capable of working with this when this arises. In fact, we could use those three words as something to look to look at circumstances when we are in circumstances where we're feeling harm or suffering. We could look caught in what dream, how do I see this? Self, other, what's the story?
Sometimes I can notice a dream that I'll also just these specific about a work situation, for example, I can notice I'm in a bit of a, maybe caught up in a situation because I think I need to address something and I'm a supervisor. And I can notice that I'm caught up in that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I let go of that, there's another thought that's like, oh, am I being neglectful? Because, uh-huh. You know, you can really let go of a lot of things and uh-huh. not address things, and then sometimes they come back up and mm-hmm. it's there. But, so it's that, you know, how does one assess that they're really being awake? Yeah. Started out with.
Right.
You know, and allowing that process to occur rather than, you know, avoiding.
Right. And what's your responsibility? And you're the one who can see what's your responsibility and what isn't your responsibility, given that you have a certain position, and so it's yours to take care of. But we could also take care of it in a skillful way, or we could take care of it in a way that perpetuates not only our being caught, but the other people being caught in self-centeredness. And I'm sure most of us have seen people who do that. They take their responsibility but then act it out in ways that aren't skillful for them or for those whom they're, what should I say, claiming responsibility for. Mm-hmm. So yeah. See, these are reminders, not hard and fast rules. And we always want hard and fast rules. See, we want to know, what am I supposed to do, as opposed to be not knowing, to be present, to be this moment, self and other all together, universe. See, that means we can't hold on to the dream and be half asleep in our dream about myself and what am I doing and what happened to me and what's going to happen to me and where am I going, and I feel so good or I don't feel so good, or I notice how many times I said I, and there's nothing wrong with the word I. But if that's where we keep focusing, that's very much what that first verse is about. It's caught in self-centered dream. So if we notice that, then we know, oh, something's going on here. Just a habit, but a habit that has pernicious consequences. That's why caught in self-centered dream, and the pernicious consequence is suffering or stress or harm or all sorts of variations of them. Yes.
Say more about beginningless. I've never heard that before.
Beginningless? Oh. Well, I really can't say much, because the more I say, the more we get an idea of where it begins and get a theory. But the point is that to enable us to see that it's the consequences of cause and effect forces that we don't have to spell out, but that they go on and on. I mean, that in the sense the whole universe, both physical, mental, etc., is just the ongoing cause and effect forces. And beginningless allows us to not have to attribute judgment and blame and evaluation of why do I have this, I shouldn't have had this, how come he doesn't have this, it must be my fault, my parents' fault, my grandparents' fault, etc., etc. In that sense, it's not so much to give us an idea, but to free us from the judgments that we tend to add on, that we think allow us to know and be safe. See, it's that knowing and safety that we seek through that. See, it's a product of being born human, let's say it that way. With that package comes various aspects. Sometimes we talk about it as the five skandhas, the five aspects of being human, or we could simply say body, mind. But that what comes with being human is all sorts of things. Just like as soon as we're born, we're aging. And we're on our way towards all sorts of things. It's not predetermined, but there's forces, and there's more forces that keep adding into it. Just like there's all sorts of forces living in the Midwest, we have all sorts of forces in terms of the weather we have, in terms of other things, in terms of the bugs that are going to be here, etc., etc. So, in that sense. Okay, thank you.
Copyright Elihu Genmyo Smith.